Blog Talk Radio.
Well, welcome to 2022 and the man's voice. There is so much that we have to talk about in 2022 as we move along and as we begin. There's so much that has gone on. We wish everybody, hope you had great holidays. I hope that you're somewhere staying warm if you're in the cold, and that we are here to help you get through 22 with listening to what we have to say on the man's voice. Because it's very important, men and their conversation these days. There's too many shows of just women talking, women saying everything. But now we need to make it available for all of us. But anyway, there are a lot to talk about. I mean, since we were off for the holidays, I mean, first of all, I think Ahmaud Arbery's killer sentenced to life was something that we probably didn't see coming. But it has happened, and it is something we talked about. We lost two people that seem to be very important to a lot of us, Sidney Poitier and Betty White. And there are others, you know, that seems to be something that's going on across the board. But there's so much to talk about. I want to welcome, we got three of the panelists on at the moment. The rest of them will be joining soon. But Darius, Michael, and Ron are here to get us through. And now, back from the train rides is Bruce. Hello, Bruce. How are you?
I can barely hear you. Can you hear me?
We got you now, yes.
You can, huh? Okay. How about
anyway,
that?
Anyway, I want to say Happy New Year to everyone, all the panelists. Anyway, we're going to get on with the show. We're going to let everybody have their piece, but I want to ask everyone individually how their holidays were, and what is it that stands out that, you know, you can say, I'll remember this forever. What about you, Ron? Anything happened during the holidays that made you think, I'm never going to forget this holiday because of this?
Well, obviously COVID, but it was the most boring and dull holiday because I didn't do anything. Happy New Year, first of all, to everybody. Hope everybody had a safe and nice holidays. But no, just stayed home and didn't really go anywhere, didn't do much. So it was uneventful. And the reason I did that was because of COVID. So can't wait for things to normalize a little bit more, so to speak.
All right. What about you, Michael?
Hey, Happy New Year to everybody. I had a wonderful holiday. I really did. I'm looking forward to 2022. Like Ron, I would probably say COVID. Unfortunately, my wife, future wife-to-be, my girlfriend, got tested positive for COVID the day after Christmas on the 26th. Fortunately, she's okay. She's testing negative now, but that's what was on my mind. Like you said, Ron, it was just a dull, boring holiday because of coronavirus.
Oh, wow. All right. What about you, Darius? How was your holidays?
Hey, Happy New Year to everyone. And I pray that 2022 will be your best year ever, that God will bless you all with an abundance of prosperity, perfect health, peace, joy, and that he'll give you favor in all your future endeavors, guys. My holiday season was actually pretty good. Got three grandbabies this year, so I got to spend some time with them. We had about 20 people over for Christmas, over for New Year, and just spent some time with family. We didn't go out, but we stayed in, and fortunately, with all of us at the house, no one got sick, no one came down with COVID, and we just enjoyed one another, man. We just decided that we are going to live our lives. We're going to be cautious, going to be wise, but at the same time, you know, these moments are not promised to any of us. So I'm just going to, we just decided that we're going to enjoy ourselves, enjoy one another. So we had a great holiday season.
Good to hear. Bruce, I want you to tell everybody exactly what it is you did for the holiday season. I think it'll be something nice because I think the panelists should next year go and join you on one of the trips. But anyway, tell us a little bit about what you did.
Well, thank you for the nice plug there, David. First of all, Happy New Year to everyone and their families and my brethren across the United States. What we did, I've been gone since just before Thanksgiving for 5 weekends in a row. We had Christmas trains that ran half-day excursions and brought full train loads of people. Every one of our excursions, 22 in total, over 12,000 people. To Santa's Village, it was a refreshing, enlightening experience. Wondered how it was going to go with all the COVID concerns. People wore masks. People were very respectful. And it was a fantastic relief to the way things have been going on in the last year and a half to 2 years. It showed me that people that are responsible and making good choices can live with this and be safe and cautious to the extent that they're comfortable enough to participate. It was wonderful excursion. So that covered five of my weekends. On the holidays, both at Christmas and New Year's, spent a little bit of time with my family, with my kids and my grandkids. Did not really go anywhere, kind of like you, Ron, kind of stayed close to home, but was able to do that and have just been, you know, kind of just going out when I needed to, and that's about it. And making judgments of going into places if I felt they were safe, and if I didn't, I didn't go in. That's simple. But overall, it was a good time around Christmas time, and I look forward to it every year. David knows what I'm talking about. It's very rewarding.
Right, sir. I think what we're missing here is that the train that you are working on and taking people and the thousands of people, the reason they're riding that train is this train was the one actually used by Warner Brothers when they made the movie The Polar Express. And this particular train is called the Pierre Marquette 1225. Now, one of the reasons why Warner Brothers chose the train was because 1225 is actually Christmas Day, and to come off the back, come out of the factory in the 40s, marked 1225, gave Warner Brothers the idea to let's use this train to make the movie. Anyway, and the little town, there's a town, Ashley, in Michigan, that turned its whole town into a Christmas village. So it's really a wonderful experience. And so I'm giving you that plug. Maybe next year we could sell more. But
yeah,
I'd like to,
absolutely. You guys all come up and we'll ride the train to Santa's Village.
Right. I think the whole team, we should do a show from one of the cabooses one day next year. Well, this year, sorry.
Let me add one more quick thing, David, to what you said, and appreciate that, is it was so popular this year, not knowing for sure, we sold all 12,000 tickets in 6 hours for all 5 weekends.
It's very popular.
6 hours.
Most people, what I noticed was a lot of grandparents will bring their children. They'll look at the movie The Polar Express the night before, take the kids, get all excited to see this wonderful steam engine. When it plows in, it's amazing, and everybody gets excited. So it'll be a great trip for all of the panel here, all our brothers, to go and have a caboose and ride the train, ride the Polar Express. But there's so much that has been going on since our last show, and I want to move around the table. The first one for me, though, is, is anybody surprised at the sentence that the judge gave the killers of Ahmaud Arbery? They're all sentenced to life in prison. I think one of them wasn't non-paroled. Two of them cannot get parole, but one of them wasn't. Any thoughts on that? Anybody that thought that that was wrong, or does everybody agree that that was probably the right sentence? What about you, Darius?
sorry, David. No, I totally agree. Actually, I thought maybe they shouldn't have got the death penalty. I mean, you got an unarmed man minding his own business, and he was ambushed. So, no, I think life without parole is a fair sentence. You know, I would have been even happier if they would have gotten the death sentence. The other guy, yeah, I think he got life, but he has a possibility of parole because he actually wasn't involved in the killing. He just kind of videotaped it with his phone, so I can understand the leniency with him. But, yeah, it was a just sentence, and I'm glad the jury did the right thing.
All right, Michael, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I got to echo Darius' statements on that one. I think the death penalty would have been far more appropriate sentence for those guys. But, I mean, I'm happy and I'm angry, David. I really am. I'm happy, yeah, that finally justice was served for an innocent black man who was the hands of racist white people. But I'm also angry that it took the video of that incident for those guys, those murderers now, to be in prison. If not been for that video, those guys would be walking free right now. Because the original prosecutor on the case saw it and said nothing to see here and didn't want to prosecute it. And it just makes me question, well, it doesn't make me question, it makes me understand and hopefully explains to the world how often that happens, how often men of color are brutalized and killed and harmed and no justice is ever served for them. I mean, think about it. Those are three murderers, convicted murderers, and they would be walking scot-free if it weren't for that video. So we didn't always have video in this country. So how many other times has that happened where black men were murdered and there was no justice served because it was racist white men? Those guys had the Confederate flag on their license plate. So it was clear where they stood politically and how they looked at life. So I'm happy and I'm not happy at the same time. It put a spotlight on the broken racist criminal justice system that we have in America, and that needs to be fixed. So I just hope more focus and conversations on that. And I hope all three of those men burn in rotten hell.
All right. Ron, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I echo what has been said so far. I think that whole incident was despicable, atrocious, and I think the death sentence would have been better. But I do think that hopefully this will, maybe set an example and maybe show the people that, hey, this is not acceptable in 2022 anymore. I know, Michael, I know you say that this keeps happening all the time, and it does, and it's terrible, but you know, I have faith that things will get better. Whether it's a slow progress or not, but I hope that they get better. But you know, I was talking to David the other day, and I had no idea before I watched this movie a couple of days ago who Emmett Till was, and that was an eye opener to me to see what black people were going through back then and are still apparently going through today. And now that explains to me, and it justifies even more this whole critical race theory that is the talk of, you know, every news show that you turn on. So I'm glad they got what they got, and they deserve it, in my opinion.
All right. I think we got that. But one of the things that popped up is everyone around the table is saying they should have got the death penalty. And I know that we've had this conversation before. What do we think about that? And we'll have it later in the year. But I would like to move around the table and have open up for other people, because there's so many other things. There's the Omicron that's, you know, messing around. There's booster shots. There's all kinds of things. So let me start with Michael. Why don't you start out with telling us what's on your mind and you would like to discuss with the panel?
Yeah, thanks, David, for starting with me first. I would like to discuss Joe Biden's agenda and where his agenda is right now. And just to piggyback off of what we were talking about with the Ahmaud Arbery case, the Voting Rights Act. The Voting Rights Act is stalled in the Senate stalled in Congress right now. And it seems like to me that the Republicans are preparing for a coup in 2024. And that's what a lot of people are saying. So I want to go to the panel and just go around the table to see what everyone thinks in regards to should the voting rights bill, should that be passed? Should they carve out the filibuster to pass that? And if they think, do they see a coup coming in the future from the Republican Party? And I'll start with Bruce, if it's all right. Bruce, what do you think about that?
No problem, Brother Michael. Couldn't agree more with whoever makes the statement, including anyone else, that we should protect our God-given right to vote. And, no matter what color, no matter what condition, no matter what nationality you are, no matter what economic group. However, I don't agree with the way the Democrats are approaching it, because it leaves me with a sense. And if you're gonna get the support of the country, you have to get the support of all sides, not just one side. And so with the Republicans, all sides, not just one side. And you need to get that support, and the only way you're going to get it nowadays in our hypersensitive environment is if you can get people high enough in the trust factor that they feel what you're doing is fair and honest. The Republicans have a lot of issues with the way the Democrats are wanting to handle the right to vote, and the Democrats, Republicans have the same issues with the Democrats. So, there again, we do not have a meeting of the minds. We can agree on the subject matter of protecting the vote, but the approach and the way and the wisdom that's used to do it is diametrically opposed right now, 180 degrees apart. And until you get that done, you're going to have this bickering, this argument, this fighting back and forth and trying to get the same thing done that both sides say they want.
But I'm going to go to Ron, but Bruce, I'll say this. Don't you just realize at this point that the Republicans just don't want black people to vote? That's just what it boils down to. All this meeting of the minds and all that, that makes no sense. The Republicans just don't want black people to vote, bottom line. Do you agree with that, Ron?
Could not. No, wait a minute. If you're going to throw that out, Michael, I need to respond. Could not agree with you at all on that statement. Case in point, according to the Democrats, the world's worst presidency, the last one, look at the track record in the voting, in all the economic advantages and that. So don't tell me that they all want the blacks not to vote. That's crap. That's not true. Can either side do a better job of doing it the right way, as I just said? Absolutely. And I'll let you, that's all I wanted to say.
What do you think, Ron?
Michael, I'm going to ask you to enlighten me a little bit more on this voting rights bill, because I've been out of tune. I've had some other things preoccupying my mind the last few weeks.
Okay, well, just in a nutshell, it's called John Lewis Voting Rights Act. And just a long story short, as you see what Georgia and all the Republican states are trying to do by making it harder for black people to vote, the John Lewis Voting Rights Act would make it easier for people to vote and would kind of override what they're trying to do in those Republican states and just make voting more fair.
I think every American that has a valid identification card should have the right to vote, and it should be made as easy as possible for every American to vote. So any effort, and I know what you're talking about with Georgia, and I think even Florida and a bunch of other states are trying to do to curtail and make it harder. And, you know, it makes it harder for everybody, but particularly African-Americans from what I've read and understand. I think that's not good, and that's contrary to what we are as a country.
What about you, Darius? It's your home state of Georgia, and you're a black man, so how do you feel about the white Republicans in Georgia trying to oppress the black vote?
Well, Michael, I have to tell you, man, I totally not only disagree with you, but I'm also insulted by what you said, and I'm insulted by any person that says that these restrictions and guidelines are in an effort to prohibit black people from voting. Because when you say that, what you do is you insult the intelligence of black people. When they say you have to have an identification card, they say, oh, you're trying to suppress the black vote. So that's to say that black people are too dumb and not able to handle their business and have a voter ID card. That's an insult. When they say that, oh, redistricting is against black people, then that's to say that black people aren't wise enough to understand that the polls have changed and we're not going to be able to figure it out. Joe Biden even said, oh, well, that's black people don't have an internet, so they can't figure out where their polling places are. All of these guidelines that that Republicans are proposing, it's not to suppress the black vote. It is to ensure fairness of vote. The Democrats want to get rid of every tool that ensures a legal and fair voting system. They want to get rid of voter ID. They want illegal aliens to vote. They want people to be able to come in and vote even though they've been dropped from the voter roll because they haven't renewed. They want people to be able to mail in ballots without identification. So it looks like to me it's not a Voting Rights Act, and Democrats are really, really good about labeling and branding their socialist ideas. It's not a Voting Rights Act. It's a Freedom to Cheat Act. And what they're trying to do is federalize voting laws. The states actually make the voting laws, and they're in charge of the laws in their state. Of course, they're federal guidelines. But if you're operating within that, then the state should trust you to do that. There are no civil rights violations. There are no violations that are saying that one set of laws are specific for black people and not for white people. They also want to take over the times that the polls are open. Georgia has been unfairly targeted because of these acts. When Georgia has more voting times and dates, polling dates, than Connecticut, than New York, than even California. They have more days to vote here in Georgia than they do in those states, liberal states. I don't think having to meet certain criteria in order to cast a vote is suppressing the black vote. I think it's ensuring a fair vote. They also don't want monitoring, a bipartisan monitoring of the ballot. Why? If you want a fair vote, then you should have that. Why would you ever want to get rid of that is beyond me. The only solution, only conclusion I can draw from that is they want to be able to cheat. That's all. That's the only other solution, conclusion you can draw from something like that. The Voting Rights Act is a farce. It's not real. Every citizen in America, every citizen has the right to vote. There's no one being suppressed. They even said that he's telling them that campaigns can't donate water and food is a restriction or suppression against black people. So you're saying that, oh, black people don't have water? Black people are too stupid to bring a bottle of water or too poor to have water or bring a candy bar in the line while they vote? This is stupid, and it's an insult, and white liberals are constantly insulting black people's intelligence, and I'm sick of it for one.
Well, I don't want to hog the floor. I'm going to give it back to David, but I just got to say this, Darius. Why did all of a sudden Georgia feel they had to pass any voting laws? It's because they lost, the state turned blue. Had the state not turned blue, they wouldn't have passed any kind of voting restriction laws. And one last thing, Darius, what about the fact that the Republicans passed a law saying if they don't like the results of the election, they can take over the election and redo the election in their favor? What about that?
I don't know about that law, Michael. I haven't heard that. But what I'm saying to you is, they're not really changing the laws. What they're doing is, the legislation is responsible for making voting laws in each state, the state legislature. What happened in Georgia is because of COVID, the Democratic Party took the state of Georgia to court, and they got liberal judges to change the voting guidelines from what they originally were to accommodate people with for the COVID restrictions. And the state of Georgia only said, the legislature said, no, you guys don't have that right to do that. The state legislature is the one that has that right and maintains that right. So they didn't change really anything. They just basically said, you guys were out of bounds. We're going to go back to what it was, and we're going to tighten it. And if the Democrats are so concerned about voting rights and what happened in January 6th, they would go ahead voting right laws, because that's the whole reason January 6th happened, because all of these states violated their own constitutional voting rights act.
All right, gentlemen, let me jump in a little bit with what's going on here in the United States. We all know that Republicans in key battleground states are renewing efforts to write new rules for future elections and sow doubts about the last one. In Michigan alone, a group of Donald Trump supporters are working on a petition to mandate an outside audit of the 2020 election and establish a grand jury with the power to arrest election officials who refuse to cooperate. In Wisconsin, some of the GOP lawmakers are trying to sideline a bipartisan commission that oversees elections in the state. And Republican legislators from Arizona to Florida are planning to take up new voting restrictions in upcoming legislative sessions. As a likely showdown looms in Congress this week over federal voting legislation, Republicans aligned with the former president are pressing ahead at the state level to change voting procedures, conduct bipartisan investigations of the last presidential contest, and seize more control over the machinery of elections. Democrats and voting rights advocates warn that the unrelenting campaign to cast doubt on the legitimacy of President Joe Biden's 2020 victory over Trump could erode voter confidence in elections and increase the chances that losing candidates and their supporters will challenge the result of free and fair elections in the future. Every day that goes by, one or more are thinking about the direction and the resilience of the American democracy. I'm worried about, are we heading down a path where there are those who cannot accept that their candidate could lose? And that's a very crazy thing that's going on in the United States. In the last year, 19 states passed 34 laws that restrict voting in some way or another, according to analysis by the Liberal Learning Brennan Center of Justice. And more changes are expected for state legislators convening early this year. So we know that there's lots going on. The new proposals include a measure that would ban the use of drop boxes in Georgia, where Biden became the first Democrat president. So the Republicans don't want that in Georgia anymore because they might lose again. In Arizona, lawmakers want to establish stricter voting ID requirements. In Florida, State Trump one-handedly, Republican Governor DeSantis is pushing a new package of voting measures that it could include increasing penalties for collecting voter ballots and establishing a new office to investigate and prosecute election fraud. Meanwhile, in Michigan, Democrat governor there, Gretchen Whitmer, vetoed several of the Republican-sponsored election bills last year because she didn't think that they were fair. So all this is going on. So if anybody has any questions about what's going on, I think it's very prevalent that we kind of feel what's going on. So we have to jump and listen to both sides and move on. Anyway, we should move on for time. So, Ron, what would you like to discuss with the panel?
David, we're tired of talking about this, but now we've got the Omicron and the rapid surge of hospitalizations. And I just heard this morning from the CDC, I think it was, that 70% of the patients that are hospitalized are unvaccinated. Yes, 30% are vaccinated. That means that now the vaccines are about 70% effective against actually getting Omicron, from what I understand. But still, the vast majority of the people that are ending up in the ICUs and taking up, much needed care from other people are unvaccinated. In fact, I heard that there was one case, I forget where, and just like this one, there's many, many others. Somebody that went to a hospital they were in acute renal failure, and they didn't have a bed. And the guy ended up dying in the hospital waiting for a bed because all the beds were full with sick COVID patients. To me, that's unacceptable in the United States. So I think all of you know my opinion in terms of vaccinations, but I want to go around the table and see if anything has changed, because we've talked about this before, in terms of what your perspectives are on vaccine mandates, at least for companies that have 100 or more employees. And we'll start with Michael.
Yeah, I'm sorry, but what is the question, Ron? What's the exact question?
How do you feel about having a vaccine mandate? You know, 70% of the cases in hospitals right now in ICUs are people that are unvaccinated. And this is, I mean, we haven't even reached the peak. I think they said the peak is probably going to be toward the end of January. And then after the peak, then, you know, the lag 2 weeks is the hospitalizations and the very sick people. And they're taking away the care from people that need it that have heart attacks, you know, kidney failure, renal failure, everything else. So how do you feel about having a vaccine mandate for big companies?
Absolutely. I'm pro-vaccine. I'm pro-vaccination all day, every day. But I'm just not for the government mandating us citizens to do anything.
I do agree with everything you said. It really angers me when I hear doctors and nurses saying, hey, we're overcrowded, we're overworked because of all these unvaccinated people who keep showing up. So as opposed to mandating people to get vaccinated, I think the government should mandate the hospitals to not treat anybody that shows up that does not have the vaccine. If you show up to the ICU or to the emergency room and you're not vaccinated, well, go on about your business. You're not coming into this hospital. It's your fault you didn't get vaccinated. So I wouldn't mandate the vaccine, but I would mandate the hospitals to give priority to people who are vaccinated and less priority to those who aren't unvaccinated.
Yeah, and unfortunately, I don't think that's ever going to happen. So it's like being between a rock and a hard place. And I think all the people that have wanted to get vaccinated have already been vaccinated. So I don't think the numbers are going to go up dramatically. So where do we go from here? I mean, we're in this juncture now, just like the rest of the world. So we're not alone. But how do we get out of this? What, you know, herd immunity? I haven't heard that mentioned except until this morning again. But is that enough? What do you feel, Bruce?
Well, thanks for asking me, Ron. I agree with Michael that the federal government should not be mandating that you must. I also am one that I've been vaccinated and boosted by choice, because I thought it's the right thing for me to do. I don't profess to know everybody's reasons. Some are very, very valid as to not want to. And I think the only way you're going to effectively increase the number that are vaccinated, Ron, is for the state and the federal government, whoever can do a better job of truly informing people the pluses of doing it. That is going to get more people that are on the fence to get vaccinated. But a mandate by the federal government just does the opposite. You've heard it. You know, if you're going to demand that I shove something down my throat or stick something in my arm, I'm going to resist, even if I think it's good for me. That's the way some people think. So that's an uneducation of the facts. Also,
Bruce,
I've noticed over and over, and believe it or not, CNN, I'll say it again, this morning took the government to task on the way they're handling the Omicron virus. They said they are not talking about that. This is a whole different situation. It's much more infectious. And, of course, they're playing that aspect of it up, the Democrat side is. But they're not telling anybody, reminding them that it's not nearly as dangerous from the standpoint of death or major problems. So if they were able to educate people the right way about what that virus is and what it represents at the stage of the game, maybe a number of people wouldn't have to go to the hospital, feel they have to go to the hospital. They could go outpatient or take care of it in a way that they don't end up in an ER or in a hospital. So there again, it's a situation of just informing people with a part that reinforces what you want them to know and not know the whole truth. You need to inform them, and I think if people finally feel they're getting the whole picture, they will make a better – you'd be surprised. I think there would be a lot of people that would continue and increase the amount that get vaccinated. I really do.
Bruce, I don't disagree that this administration could be doing a better job in getting information out, and it's been, especially in the last week or two, very, very confusing in terms of, the 5 days versus 10 days and all of that.
Right.
But just out of curiosity, and by the way, you said CNN, I've also heard the administration being, the COVID part of this administration being criticized, not just by CNN, but ABC, CBS, NBC, all of them. So to me, that brings back, when we said the liberal media is always attacking Donald Trump. Well, guess what? That's not true. They attack anything that they think is not right that people should know the truth about. So that's just one point. But I wanted to ask you, because you said you've heard lots of valid excuses for people not getting the vaccine. Can you name one?
Yeah, they have a woman may have a health condition and she says in fear of her baby if she's pregnant. I've heard other people say that they might get a reaction that is a function of attacking certain organs in their body. I've heard that. There's honest religious reasons, and we should not minimize that. I heard that again, as you said, on ABC and CBS this morning. Those are valid reasons if you're some way can find out that they're truly using that and not using it as a excuse. So there's three right there.
Okay. Darius, what are your thoughts on all of this?
I think, the government in no way should be telling people that they have to get vaccinated. There should not be any mandates on that. Simply because when you're putting something into your body, we're not all made the same. We don't all have the same biological makeup. Some of us have certain pre-existing conditions, health reasons, religious reasons. So we cannot be treated as a monolithic society when you talk about vaccines. There are several reasons why some people don't want to. And so for the government to just issue a broad stroke mandate to tell everybody to get vaccinated is crazy to me. I do understand the flooding of hospitals, but I also understand that people who've been vaccinated are also, and I know you say 30%, I've heard it's a little bit higher. I heard that people who've been vaccinated have given other people COVID who've been vaccinated. I also want to say to Michael, I think he made the statement that, you shouldn't get treatment if you didn't take the vaccine. I wonder if an alcoholic who comes in with a liver disease, maybe we should turn them away. Or if a person who's morbidly obese, if he comes in with high blood pressure, diabetes, and he has some sort of failing organ failure due to that, should we turn them away? Should we turn people away who bungee jump and hurt themselves, injure themselves because they took on an activity that's not wise, or who get involved in a motorcycle accident? I mean, this can go on and on and on. So we ought to start a moral regulation, I guess, on what people, who should be treated and who shouldn't. This could go very, very far. So I just don't think we should even get into the weeds on that kind of situation. We're not God. Should certain people have priorities? I agree with that totally. But just saying, because you didn't get the vaccine that you shouldn't be treated, I think is harsh, and it's just not logical.
David, we never ask you for your opinion.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I was talking to a caller. What did you ask me, sir?
Never mind. That's okay.
No, run. Ask it again. Ask it again.
Never mind. I just want to go into it. Let me jump in and switch the guideline a little bit. But it's a question I have because the U.S. Center for Disease Control and Prevention has updated its guideline for COVID-19 prevention in schools, offering kindergarten through 12th grade classes about how they should be get the vaccination and quarantine and isolation guidelines for 5 days for the general public. It also recommends a screening test and testing for students, but it's also saying that most schools should go virtual and most extracurricular activities and sports activities should be canceled in order to protect in-person learning. Spencer, I know you're out there and have a young child who goes to school. What are your thoughts on the way COVID is going and schools and how they should go? Should they be virtual?
To a degree, it depends on how much they get on my nerves. You know, then I'm ready to kick them out the house, leave them, go back to school. No, I'm sorry. Well, she didn't. When school started back Tuesday, she actually stayed home Tuesday and Wednesday. We didn't just let her go back. And Thursday, Friday, she went back. You know, we made sure that she wore a mask. You know, I think now we're just at that same road we just crossed, you know, last year and the year before. She's getting vaccinated, so that will help out. And we just hope that she does the right thing by keeping her mask and washing her hands. And the school is, you know, pretty good at making sure people. On our end, we did allow her to go back to school. So far, so good. I know in other counties like Fulton and DeKalb, all last week they were virtual. And stuff going back tomorrow for the first time. So, you know, now is a way, you know, we know the numbers are up. The lines are long, you know, out today. I just saw long lines, people getting COVID tests. You know, people just have a cough. They're just testing. You know, we're back at the same point that now you don't know if you just have a regular flu now or it might be COVID. So, you know, we're just going with the flu right now. You know, she's back in school. And like I said, hopefully she stays masked up and she doesn't bring anything home as well as us. You know, when we go out, we stay masked up so we don't have to bring anything home.
All right, Michael, what do you think about schools and COVID-19 and age and classes, high schools, junior high schools, elementary schools? Should they go virtual?
Oh, man, that's a tough one, David. No, I'm going to go, they should not go virtual. And the only reason I'm saying that is because the kids are already so far behind, in my personal opinion, because they've been COVID-ed for the last 2 years. So the learning curve is so bent in this country right now that we got to get it back on track. And from what I've learned and what I'm knowing, the kids aren't really as damaged as bad. Like, you don't hear a lot of kids being dying and things of that nature because of COVID. And I think it's to the point we're going to just have to treat it like the flu. We're going to just have to treat it like just a virus that we're going to just always have to get and just fight and combat. And I think by not allowing the kids to go to school, I think we're allowing COVID to win this battle. And I don't think we should allow COVID to win the battle. So, no, I don't think the kids should go back to remote learning. I think they should be in the classroom and learn. Short answer.
All right. What about you, Bruce? I know that your son has children. Do you think they should be virtual or back in class?
Well, mine will be rather short as well. First of all, I couldn't agree more with Michael. I think he's right. The thing I would add to it is we've found out over the last year and a half to almost 2 years that virtual learning is not working to the extent it needs to, and we're falling further and further behind. And we have to find a way, as said earlier, to live with this in a way that we can have person-to-person learning. We were behind the curve before COVID ever hit us, and we're just falling further and further behind. And our biggest asset to the future is our kids. It's not a chemical. It's not a fine. It's not a petroleum product. It's not a religion. It's not a race. It's our children. And we are not serving them well at all by just constantly saying, well, this aspect of your health trumps everything else. Or
Hello? Bruce dropped. That was an accident, I'm sure. All right. Bruce looks like he's still up. Spencer, I know that you recently joined us, but was there something about you want to talk with the panel to discuss? Spencer?
Oh, yeah. I didn't hear the name. Not really. You know, there is a new variant out there called Deltacron that they just found in Cyprus, I think. It's a combination between Omicron and the Delta flag. So I don't know how fast that's going to move through the U.S., but be look out for that in the next 2 weeks. I guess. What it seems to take to get over here. But
hello, Spencer, I think you dropped. All right.
Hello?
Yeah, are you still there?
Yeah.
Okay. I think you dropped a little bit. All right. Somebody backing up. All right. So let's move on with this show. Why don't we discuss 2022, things that we're hoping that will happen in 2022. We talked about a lot of things that are going on that, you know, we can't do anything about coronavirus right now. Of course, the election is coming up. Let's not talk about that. But what are some of the things you would like to see that could be possibly happen in the United States for all of us for 2022? Darius, what are your thoughts on that?
Well, you took the election thing away from me because I was going to say I hope to see a red wave in 2022. But we'll go away from that because it's obvious that Joe Biden, his administration is a complete and utter failure. So we'll skip that for now then. What I'd like to see in 2022 is I'd like to see completion of the border wall. I know we've got somewhere around 2 million illegal aliens that have been released into the country. That's more than the majority of cities in the country. 2 million people that we don't know anything about have just been released. So I'd like to see that wall go back up, or not go back up, but I'd like to see them complete the wall. I'd like to see all of the people from Afghanistan that Joe Biden abandoned, I'd like to see them brought back home. I'd like to see I'd like to see the oil and energy companies be freed up to continue to explore new opportunities and drill to decrease inflation and bring the oil prices back down. I'd like to see us replace or put back the restrictions we had on China and Russia. And I believe that would equal economic prosperity, national security for us all in this country if those things were to happen.
And believe it or not, Darius, I'm going to agree with you on that one. I wish they would continue with that wall. I'm speaking as a liberal. I think they should. I wish they would continue building that wall because you said 2 million. That's a very low number. I live in California where illegal immigration is outrageous. My next-door neighbor has 2 million illegal immigrants in his backyard right now. I would say that number is more like 11 million. So I'm going to agree with you on that one, Darius. I really wish they would complete the wall. But what I would like to see in 2022, I would like to see Kamala Harris be appointed to the Supreme Court. I hope Justice Breyer steps down and Biden nominates and they elect Kamala Harris to the Supreme Court so they can get her out of the way because if she runs for president, it will be a red wave, like Darius said.
All right, Ron, what are your thoughts for 2022? What would you like to see happen? Ron. All right. What about you, Bruce?
Well,
I agree with a number of things that were said. I would also like to understand the biggest crisis with the illegal immigrants, dare I say, use those words, because they are, is we're already, they're not even waiting to take a breath. The Democrats are already saying, well, let's figure out a way to let them vote, even though they're not citizens. That's totally unfair and un-American. And the people that have worked hard to become United States citizens, the men and women that have died to protect that right, among other American rights, does not mean someone that's an immigrant can't come in and do it the right way, be registered, know what kind of diseases they might be carrying, know what kind of bad intentions they have, so we can get some of those not to become part of the fabric of this country, like the drug situation and killing so many of our youth and infecting more and more. We have to do it in a way that we control our borders, and that control is partly a physical barrier and a good technical barrier and administrative barrier that registers and controls those who come in for the right reason.
All right. Ron, are you there? He was having phone issues. Okay. Spencer, what are your thoughts about 2022? What would you like to see happen in 2022? Nobody wants to answer the question.
Well,
David,
go ahead.
I was just going to say, David, what are your wishes for 2022?
That the show become international and very popular, and we are wanted everywhere in the United States of America for our views.
Hey, Bruce, if I could piggyback real quick on what you said about allowing them to vote, you're right about that. That's not right that they're allowing illegal immigrants to vote. Here in California, they allow them to get driver's license. And that's horrible to me, because myself and many friends I know have issues like their driver's licenses. I know a lot of American citizens that can't get a driver's license in California because of unpaid tickets and things of that nature. But for me to sit here and watch illegal immigrants get driver's license, it makes my blood pressure boil. So I agree with you on the voting. They are giving too many rights to these illegal immigrants.
I agree.
But
I love your objectivity. We got to stop this, Michael, or someone's going to start talking.
Yeah, what'd you say, Darius?
I said I love your objectivity, man, for real. I love to see that. I love to hear that. So, because, you know, once they get a driver's license, hey, they can go register to vote. It's, you know, a lot of that's all that's required. That's all that's required a lot of places is a driver's license. So,
yeah, and I hate to say it, guys,
yeah, man,
it's the liberals doing it.
Absolutely. And, you know, and we got back on voting, but I wanted to ask David something, because he said earlier about not accepting elections, and you didn't say Democrat or Republican, so I'm not going to put that on you, but I'm just wondering, were you as concerned, David, when they initiated a coup against Donald Trump in terms of the FBI and Hillary Clinton and Stacey Abrams claiming that she was robbed and she didn't accept the results of the election? Was that across the board, or was that only the Trump supporters who didn't accept the results?
It's a combination. Mostly Trump supporters, but it's across the board, I think.
Okay. Wow. Hey, Darius, if you don't mind, Darius, if you can give me an honest answer on this one, Darius, do you or do you not honestly in your heart believe that Donald Trump is a criminal?
I don't know. I don't think you become a billionaire businessman without bending or breaking some sort of laws. I don't think he's a violent criminal. I don't think he's committed any felonies. Has he done anything? I don't know for sure. I mean, and you know, that's not for me to say.
All right, gentlemen, we only got 5 minutes left, but I have some questions I need to throw out that I want to take a couple of seconds on each person to kind of say. What do you think it will take to save American democracy based on the way everything is going with the elections and people and the way the world is right now? So what do you think in 2022, what is it going to take to save the American democracy? What about you, Bruce? What are your thoughts?
Thanks for asking me, David. It's a simple answer. The conservatives need to take over and do the business of running this country. We've got too many people, conservatives, and conservatives can be both Democrat and Republican, so I purposely picked that word, that have much more in the interest of protecting democracy and rights of citizens than any single group. So I pray and I hope that the conservatives, whoever they are, in whatever party they're in, are the ones that win big in 2022 and win big in 2024.
You know, what is very interesting about what you just said was, even in this panel, the conservatives... I don't know what's going. Who is that? I don't know. Anyway, the conservatives always say it's the liberals' fault, and the conservatives need to take over. The liberals always say it's the conservatives, and they don't need. I never hear we say we need to work together. The liberals and the conservatives need to come together and form something that makes everything work right, rather than saying the liberals or the conservatives should need to take charge. I think there should be a combined effort of them both. And quit saying one against the other, because it's very, very stern there on one hating the other one so much, which is a problem in the United States. And I would hope in 2022 somehow somebody with a brain could come together and put the two pieces together. But anyway.
David, can I add one thing to that?
Yeah.
But you have to have one philosophy in charge on the top end.
I agree with you.
They need to work together, but you can't vote both of them into office as president and vice president. Maybe that's all we should consider.
Why not?
But it doesn't happen.
It doesn't happen, but why not? Why can't we put something together that will make it happen? Or are you?
I'm not so sure. If people felt it was the right thing to do and got the right people in place, I'm not so sure people would object to that.
Well, I think
David,
that would be something to look forward to. Michael, go ahead.
I think that the democracy, you said, what can we do to save the democracy in 2022? I think the answer is nothing. I don't think there's anything we can do to save the democracy. I think you just can't put the toothpaste back in the tube. I think I say it all the time. The wheels are coming off the car. I think America, the union, needs to be broken up into separate regions. I think this experiment of America is coming to an end after 276 years.
I think that's not a good answer. I think the answer would be that we need to get some people who are strong and can lead, some great leaders in place. We don't have great leadership going on. We have not had great leadership in the country for a while now. So I think finding some good leaders is one of the things. But anyway, I would like to first of all say thanks to everyone for being here. I hope you guys had a great holiday season. Say Happy New Year as we move on. We got 1 minute left, so as we go around the table, let's just say what you want to say. Michael, 15 seconds, say something.
I want to say Happy New Year to everybody. I wish you all a prosperous 2022, and I hope this democracy falls apart soon.
All right, Bruce.
I hope that Michael is dead wrong in his wish. And I love my brothers The Voice. And I wish people the wisdom of making intelligent, informed decisions, all of us.
All right, Darius.
Michael, thank you so much. You just pointed out the reason why David's question about us working together can't exist. You can't work with someone who's praying for the downfall of America and say we want to maintain our democracy, because you have one side who wants to destroy it.
We need to get back to freedoms and rugged individualism that built this country, and that will save our democracy, not socialism.
All right, let me just say we're at the end of the conversation. I'll pull it all together. We hope to see everyone back or here, hope everyone tune in to us again next week, 6 p.m. Everyone, have a great week and Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, guys. Be safe out there.
Happy New Year, fellas. God bless.
God bless.
God bless.